Today's scripture comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and then 12 through 14. You'll see it on the screens. You can follow along in your own Bibles. If you want to open up the church's smart app on your phone, then you can read it there as well. Or, of course, you can simply listen deeply as I read. Beginning verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I write about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You might be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Then verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. I saw a study recently that said that over our lifetimes, the average person waits in lines of various kinds for 5 years of our lives. 6 months of those 5 years is waiting at stoplights. How's that feel in the midst of all we have building around us and the waiting? And you all are above average people, so we know you waited longer than that. There are some things in our lives that are worth waiting for and some things that aren't. Tell me something that's worth waiting for in your estimation. Children, to be born in the first place, to change our lives forever. And then daily, yeah, we think so most days anyway. Other things worth waiting for?
My parents,
when they forgot their flight. But you are worth waiting for, and we are glad you're here. Others? What's worth waiting for? Tell me. When they're doing what? Ah, waiting for them to come home or waiting for them to leave? Either, right? Somebody else, what's worth waiting for? Grandchildren. Good news. Anybody else? I can only speak from my own perspective as, you know, as a male, but waiting for your significant other to get ready, you know? You know, when a woman, in my experience at least, says, I'm almost ready, just 5 more minutes, that means something very different than what men think 5 more minutes means. But for the right woman, that's worth waiting for. What are the things that aren't worth waiting for? One at a time, what? Say again? Food? You wouldn't wait for food? Eventually you'd have to eat, wouldn't you? Yeah, okay. Well, all right. I won't wait more than 30 minutes in a line at a restaurant for a table. I don't care how good it is. I can go home and eat peanut butter for that. Somebody else says something over here. What's not worth waiting for in your mind?
Death.
Death? Okay. What doesn't do us any good, it comes when it comes, doesn't it? Somebody else, what's not worth waiting for? What do you hate to wait for? Say that one more time. What? Comcast. All right. All right. Can I get an amen? Waiting in line at the BMV to get your license renewed. Although it's much better nowadays than it used to be.
Waiting to get a new job.
Waiting to get a new job. Well, it drives you nuts, but sometimes it's worth waiting for. Well, there you go. And that's worth waiting for, but it better hurry up and come pretty quick, shouldn't it? Well, I spent so much time on that this morning because when Pastor Jared talked last week, he talked about the disciples at the very end of Jesus' time with them, both the idea of him saying to them, you know, there's going to come a time when you're going to get this gift. I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to send you a gift, and you're going to have receive that, and then you go out into the world. That was how it was said in the gospel that Jared read from. And then it's said differently here in the book of Acts when Jesus is with them before he ascends into heaven, and he says, you're going to go out into the world and be my disciples, or rather my witnesses to everyone who will hear, beginning here in Jerusalem and all throughout the nation and then all throughout the globe. But wait, he said, because that's your task, but you don't yet have what you need to complete it. Wait until God gives you the gift that he's promised, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So while we come on this day that we call Pentecost, which is the day, the great Jewish feast, that it all happened when the disciples were ready and the Holy Spirit came upon them in power and they all began to speak the story of Jesus to thousands in the area, they all heard them in their own native languages because the Holy Spirit interpreted that. When that happened, the church was born in power. Lives were changed. And it's been the sustaining power of the church ever since. But they had to wait. Now, why did they have to wait? Was it because God had a certain calendar date he wanted to wait until it happened? Well, maybe. I don't know God's mind. And that's a good thing. If I knew, God wouldn't be big enough. Or was it maybe because they had to spend time in formation, forming themselves to be ready to receive this Spirit in power? The first 40 days, it said Jesus spent time teaching them, showing them that he was alive, and then he left them, and we know that it was a 50-day period between Passover and Pentecost, the Jewish holiday, and so for at least 10 days, he said, go back and wait. For 10 days, they went to this room they were staying in. For 10 days, they prayed continually, it said. For 10 days, they waited. I won't wait a half an hour for a reservation. For 10 days, they waited. And what happened as they waited? Well, it wasn't for God to give them strategies. It was for them to surrender. To surrender their own individual pictures of what it's going to look like. When Jesus says, you've got a task to go into all the world and to teach and preach and make witness, be witnesses to make disciples. It was these people in this room all had an imagination of what that would look like. And for those 10 days in their waiting, they had to begin to let go of their own versions of this vision so there wouldn't be competing agendas. They had to make room for each other. And they had to make room for what God's version of the vision would be. When finally all the competing questions and competing versions were released, to come to a point of holy indifference, you know what I mean? To say, God, it's not what I want to happen, but whatever you want to happen. And that's not easy to come to for some of us. That's what Jesus was doing in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying that night before he was arrested. Lord, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me, but not what I want, but what you want. I need to come to a point of holy indifference. servants. And when finally they had all done their work and had let go of the things that separated them and the things they insisted upon, and finally they had contracted in their own spirits because they got rid of those things, there was room for the Holy Spirit then to be released in power. And then is when it came. It gave them the power to complete the task. But they had to wait. And so do we. We talk about Pentecost, not nearly enough. In fact, United Methodist Church, we only have one Sunday that we talk about the Pentecost season. You'll see that in this congregation, while I'm here at least, we'll have the Reds up at least until July 4th. That's probably actually a violation. I could be defrocked for that. But I have 100 other things I could be defrocked for anyway, so it... But we need to wait, too, to be able to subtract our desires, subtract our version of what the vision is. You know, it's the thought I've experienced in my life in the church over and again, it's not a matter of lack of ideas on how to meet the needs of other people. It's a matter of not waiting. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't mean to sit idly by and waiting. That's not waiting. That's wasting. But actively waiting to focus on God and say, God, help me let go of the things that I think have to happen to be open to think to do what you want to happen. And to wait for that so that when we are one together, we can let God make the difference. Some of you know that in January of this year, our church council created a vision team to go to work trying to find out what it is that God wants us to do in our next chapter of ministry together over the next 3 to 5 years. And part of that process, which we think may take us as long as 12 months, that's a long time to start figuring out some things to do. That's not what it's about. It's about waiting. Spending time focusing on what it is God wants and focusing on how to let go of what we think ought to happen. You know, as we look at different opportunities throughout the years where we try to help people, I have seen, I don't mean this congregation, but I've seen throughout my ministry that the things that so many times they fall short, they fade out, they miss their mark for many reasons, but the most consistent reason is because we haven't waited for God to empower and to release himself in our lives. But what if we did? I mean, our vision team's work has been to begin to bond together and appreciate each other and know who we're seeking to be and seeking God in that process. And then we, as we're doing our directed studies of our community, which is changing not by decades but by year, and who we are as a congregation, our work is continuing all the time praying that God would help us let go of the things that we think ought to happen so he can show us what it is God wants to happen and we can then follow his lead. And we need your prayers for us in that process because we're really good about drawing blueprints and building something and getting ready to go, but if we don't have the power in the engine, it won't go very far. And the power is God's Spirit. Now today is Pentecost, the day when finally they didn't have to wait any longer because the Holy Spirit came. But I want you to hear this. We hear about Pentecost and we think, wow, that's amazing. But it was an isolated thing. But it's not. We know that from Scripture it says that everybody who believes in Jesus Christ receives the Holy Spirit. But many of us who don't then nurture that has the Holy Spirit within us but not free to be released in us. And so we live our lives limping along without an awareness, an expectation, a willingness to let God's Spirit lead us. What would your life be like if the Holy Spirit were released in you? With your family. How could you bless your family if God were living actively, leading you in everything you do in your family relationships or in your work relationships or in your ministries? We have spent so many years in different congregations, and this congregation too. One of our, you know, if we had to have an image of this congregation among several wonderful ones, there would always be one of these. We're never quite sure. Is it enough? How can we? What can we afford to be or do? But God has given us His Holy Spirit not to be afraid, but to be bold. As God releases His Spirit within us to follow His leading, we need no longer wring our hands, but to hold them up. That God would then move through us in our lives. Waiting's hard. Really hard for some of us. I'm one of them. But I wait because I have to. Sometimes red lights require it. I wait because I want to sometimes. My wife's nature requires that. Are you willing to wait for the Holy Spirit, God's timing, as you give room for Him to rise up within you? One of the most effective pieces I have as I try to wait for God is to spend time focusing upon God in worship. And one of those ways I do that is through Holy Communion. We're going to share in Holy Communion here in just a moment. And in fact, as we do that, those who are going to be assisting me, would you come on up to the chancel? And Jill, would you open the table for us? So if you're going to be assisting in Holy Communion, come on, come forward. I want to invite you this morning as we share together in Holy Communion to come focusing upon what it is God wants to be and do in your life as you subtract and make room for His Spirit. In this congregation, United Methodist Church, communion is open communion. You need not be a member of this congregation or this denomination or any congregation. Simply seeking God and to be in love and charity with your neighbor. It is not a moment reserved for the holy people. Some of you might qualify, but I don't. And He invites us all. So would you be in a spirit of prayer and preparation? Gracious God, as we come acknowledging who You are, at least as we understand You. We come acknowledging who we are, broken and in need, and invested in how we think life should be in every way we look at it. We pray this morning, we thank You that You have received us. You've forgiven us, that You are reshaping us for Christ's sake. And that You desire so much for us as we wait upon You. Subtracting, surrendering, allowing room for You to come in power. This morning as we share in this table, we ask Your blessing upon these elements, symbols only, a cup and bread. But may they become for us in a very real way Your very presence through Christ. That night Jesus took the bread as He shared with the disciples, and He blessed it and broke it and passed it among them, saying, "This is My body. Eat, remembering Me." Took the cup and He blessed it and passed it among them, saying, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." Father, may we be open to receive what You have for us. In Jesus' name.